Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which resumes its third season on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. During recent Sahara Conference action in Dakar, Senegal, Stade Malien of Mali finished atop the standings and qualified for the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. One of Stade Malien's big men, the 19-year-old Nigerian Ruben Chinyelu, is currently based in Dakar at the NBA Academy Africa. In a wide-ranging interview with my VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro, Ruben talked about his experiences with NBA Academy Africa, his current BAL team, Stade Malien, and his reasons for choosing to play for Washington State after being heavily recruited by American colleges and universities. Here's Mukbil.
Great to have you on Voice of America, Ruben.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
If we could just talk a little about how's your experience been with the NBA Africa Academy, and what can you say about the introduction for the BAL Elevate, as you are a two-time BAL Elevate player?
NBA Academy, it's a really great program. It helped, you know, it helped develop players, you know, like starting from the foundation, because, you know, in Africa here we have so many talented players all over the continent, but they've been able to get that good structure, good foundation on how to establish, you know, being a basketball player, especially if you are aspiring to be in the big league like NBA. So NBA Academy here has set us with a good foundation. You know, they taught us things that we need to know and what we need to do and you know, when we ought to do it, like you know, like different, like me, for example, from me from Nigeria, I played in Nigeria, but I never played using like a play, like a set play. So we just go and we play. But when I came into the academy, it was different because now everybody has their own role, what to do. So you have this person, okay, he does this, this guy does this. So everybody knows that and they know what to do. And now you have plays, so you adopt, because it's mostly the basic information is mostly what you see in every program you go to, because it's basketball, it's the same language. So being able to get all this information, it helps us keep us ready for what comes ahead. Playing in the BAL, it has been amazing, you know. Playing the second season and then the third season, it has really been a good thing, and I'm really happy and opportune, you know, to be able to have that opportunity and be able to play in BAL. And it's really good because the way we've been taught here in the academy prepared us, because now you're going to play with other pros team who, like, you don't know them, some don't even speak English, so they speak right. French. Like last year, I played with Ferrovia Rodebeira, mm-hmm. who they speak Portuguese. So, but because I don't speak Portuguese, I speak English. So because of the you know, what I've been taught in the academy, the knowledge I know about basketball, so it's the same thing. So I just go there when the coach is talking or saying, I already know what he's saying, because it must threaten, you do this, you do that. Okay, I already know it, but probably it might be, you might say it in another language. Like in terms of language differences, in my season and but seeing it already, okay, I know that I've done this, so yeah, I could do it. Yeah, it helps keep us ready and being able to, you know, what to do when you're on the road, like your recovery, getting your rest, you know, how to stay hydrated and things like that. It has really helped all the elite players in this performing in the BAL. So to set up a good structure for us, which is really good because it makes us, you know what we need to do, and, you know, keeps us accountable to whatever we have to do and what we have to do.
I like the fact that you brought up your last season team CFV, and now you're playing for Stade Malien in this season, and you guys finished at the top of the Sahara Conference. Amazing work. What do you think has been the cause of the success for the Stade Malien side?
The reason why we came out successful and we played really good to be able to be at the top at the in our conference is because we played together and we learned from our differences, from our mistakes, I mean to say. And, you know, we don't know each other that much because, like, me, I'm just coming in. Like, I practiced with them, I think, two or three times before we started the tournament. And, you know, the coaches, I didn't get to play along with the coaches. And it was so, I think it was so for some other players there. But being able to play our first game and see what we could do together, see our mistakes and know how to adjust it. So I think it makes a bit of more chemistry for our team. And then we go ahead with the second game, the third game. So we just keep on adjusting to what the game gives us. And I'm trying to fill out our loophole, you know, trying to fill up the gaps and keep going, just learning from our mistake and, you know, keep developing, trusting our team, our teammates, you know, building our team chemistry. Yeah, we just keep believing in our teammates because that's very important. Because, like, you know, once you know your teammates and you play with him, you know what he could do when he's on the court. So if I know what you're going to do, bring on to the court, he knows what I'm going to bring. The other guy knows what he's going to bring. So it makes everybody feel good when you're on the court because now you know you could do this. Okay, you know he could do this. You know he's going to go help. You know he's going to, he got your back. You know he's going to do this. He's going to do that. So being able to, you know, bond together, play those games and learn from our mistake and correct it and keep going, know how to, you know, be together on the court.
To me personally, what I've noticed is your team had a very young core, right? You have you have Aliou Diarra, you have Suleiman Berthe. They're both, like, I believe 21 and 22 as well. Talk to me about what advantages a younger team possesses over some of the older teams. We have some of the guys that are in their 30s. Even I believe some players were in their 40s in this league. So younger guys, what do you feel like there's the advantage that you guys had going into it?
The advantages that I think we have is, like, we run. Like, you know, we're young, we can run, you know, we can pick up the space, you know, we can move on defense, you know. So it's something that helps us because, you know, once you have young, once you have, like, young players with you that could run, that could play defense, you know, that could bring in the energy on the court, it helps set another tone for the team because now, you know, when he's on the court, he's going to do everything he got to do to make sure that he, you know, that the team gets the win. So, like, being able to play with young players, it's really efficient because it helps us, like, you know, help us in our fast break, you know, playing good defense, getting stops, and now fast break splashing out, running down coast to coast. You know, that was really good because we're young, everybody can run, everybody can move. So it's not like we're dragging while we're playing. So it was really good for us, you know, because we're young, everybody could run.
Fan perspective, everybody really liked the youthful aspect of Stade Malien. You guys came out of nowhere and played an amazing season. Just to switch gears a little bit, you recently signed with Washington State. Talk to me about what that process was like. And Washington State, for those who don't know, is a NCAA Division I team. And you were heavily recruited from, you know, the Florida Gators to, I believe, Tennessee, as well as University of Memphis. You know, Penny Hardaway is my favorite, one of my favorite players all time, you know. So, yes, sir. Unfortunately, you didn't go with them. But tell me what made you pick Washington State.
The reason I picked Washington State was, like, it was quite diverse school. Like, you know, you have different people from different parts of the world, you know. So being able to go there, you know, see new people, learn new things, learn new culture, and be able to make new friends. And the most thing that stand out for me was, like, the way they play. I like the way they play and execute. So I see myself fit into their program, and I think it was somewhere I need to be because I might feel like I need to be there because I like everything about there. And they had a good, amazing coaching staff, and keep putting it, all the school I visited were really amazing. Their coaching staff were amazing, you know. But at the end of the day, you just have to pick up one skill and go to one school. But my heart went for Washington State, and I know that's the place for me. That's why I picked Washington State.
Honestly speaking, you have to go with what works for you, man. So I'm glad you found Washington State. I know we are all going to be excited to see you play there. As for some of your goals, your future goals for basketball in your basketball journey, what are some of those goals?
My goals is to make it to the league. And the biggest of all is to be able to bring a big change in Africa in terms of creating a tournament which would be host in the continent Africa, like during summertime, just like AAU. Then you have players from different parts of the continent coming in to play, like teams bringing in players to play. So that way, scouts will be able to come see, watch them play, and hopefully it will be able to be televised, and people will be seeing and seeing the talents here in Africa, because I believe there's a lot of talent in Africa, but because of this lack of infrastructure and no opportunities, so a lot of people get to, don't get that opportunity. So I think something like that, we bring a big change, because there's a lot of smart kid in this in Africa, not just only play like sports wise, like this, they are smart. So I think they could use the opportunity to also get go to school while playing basketball. So just trying to create options for kids here from Africa, because I know that Africa got a lot of talent, and it needs to be out there in the world for everyone to see. So that's my goal. Hopefully someday I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. Honestly, from a 19-year-old to hear that these are your goals to help back on the continent is amazing. It's been great to have you on Voice of America. We will be watching you carefully in the playoffs, man. Best of luck.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
That's Nigerian basketball player Ruben Chinyelu. Ruben is playing for Stade Malien this season in the Basketball Africa League. And he spoke with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, from Dakar, Senegal.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
As part of our Women's History Month coverage, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Australian Liz Mills, the first female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL. For the second year in a row, Coach Mills has led a team to the BAL playoffs. Last year, Mills guided the Moroccan squad, AS Saleh, to the playoffs. She was the first female head coach of a men's team in Morocco and the Arab world. This year, Mills is coaching BAL debutant ABC Fighters of Ivory Coast. The Fighters finished fourth in the Sahara Conference standings behind Rwanda Energy Group, AS Douan of Senegal, and top of the table, Stade Malien of Mali, another team making its debut in the BAL. Those four teams advanced to the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Mills said it's a good feeling to book a ticket to Kigali.
We're very happy to have qualified, and it's not the way we necessarily wanted to, but at the end of the day, this is African basketball, and as we know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. I mean, it's very shocking that defending champions Monastir are out and that we snuck in that fourth position. And look, we're just glad that we have qualified and that we'll be in Rwanda, but we're disappointed with our final performance. And no doubt we've got 8 weeks till playoffs to really work hard and rectify the situation. And hopefully we can redeem ourselves in the quarterfinals. Look, we also understand that back-to-back is difficult, and it is a disadvantage for teams like ourselves and Monastir to have played our back-to-backs in games 4 and 5. And, hopefully that's something that the league can look at in terms of scheduling so that we don't have this kind of situation again. But we're very happy, like I said, to have qualified, and we look forward to putting on a better performance come playoffs in May.
Your team has qualified for the Basketball Africa League playoff. Are you anticipating tough opposition? And when will preparations begin?
Most definitely, we're expecting a tough opponent in our quarterfinal game in May. Considering we finished fourth, this means that we're going to play the first place team in the Nile Conference. The Nile Conference has Petro de Luanda and Al-Hali, as well as other really good teams. And so we expect that the first team in that conference is going to be an elite team, which means that in order for us to get to the semifinals, we're going to have to play an amazing game. We're going to have to be consistent over four quarters, and we're going to have to play so much better than what we have in the Sahara Conference. But anything can happen, and, you know, the Nile Conference might be just as crazy as the Sahara Conference has been. We might see some upsets. At the end of the day, no one would have predicted that Stade Mali would finish on top of the Sahara Conference. So maybe we'll see some unexpected results in the Nile Conference, but it doesn't really matter who we're playing in the quarterfinals, because it's really about our own performance. And we know if we can execute, we can follow our game plan, we can play as a team, that we can really beat anybody on any given day. And that's what we're going to be preparing for.
Coach, what message do you have for the fans and supporters of ABC Fighters Basketball Club?
We as a team would really like to thank everybody who was involved with helping us qualify for BAL. So not only, you know, our board and management to our support staff, but also the players that are in Abidjan who really helped us over 5 weeks to get us to where we are today. Unfortunately, as a coach, you can't take a squad of 20. And so it's a credit to these players to have really been able to help us for 5 weeks and to continue to support us while we've been in Abidjan. But most importantly, our friends and family and supporters, they have been amazing. They've, through all the ups and downs, they've been consistent. They've let us know that they support us, and they've really motivated us throughout this tournament. So we would like to thank everybody who has supported us all across the world, but especially our fans in Côte d'Ivoire. We look forward to seeing you soon and representing you to our best abilities in Rwanda.
That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club, nicknamed the ABC Fighters. And Coach Mills spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dakar, Senegal.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. The Sunny Side of Sports, a lot to crow about.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Samson Omale joins us now with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa Sports Highlights for this week with the Confederation of African Football announcing and confirming the dates for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations competition in Ivory Coast. The continent's governing body said on Thursday that the 2023 AFCON will begin on the 13th of January 2024 with the opening match at the Alassane Ouattara Stadium in Abidjan, while the final will be played on the 11th of February. Six teams, including defending champions Senegal, have booked their place at next year's Africa Cup of Nations AFCON after rounds 3 and 4 of qualifying. Algeria, Burkina Faso, Morocco, South Africa and Tunisia are the other sides who have already done enough to join the Teranga Alliance and the host Ivory Coast at the tournament. But several countries have also already been eliminated ahead of the two remaining sets of fixtures that will be played in June and September. Botswana, Lesotho, Liberia, Madagascar and Sao Tome and Principe are the nations now playing only for pride. Staying with CAF, Africa Schools Football Championship is set for Durban early next month when 14 of the top boys and girls schools on the continent will meet for the right to be crowned African champions. It is a groundbreaking event that has huge ramifications for the future of football on the continent, but also seeks to create new leaders out of tomorrow's stars. CAF Head of Operations Luxulo September says the competition, which has a price tag of $300,000, is aimed at discovering and developing Africa's huge talents in football.
About 40,000 schools, about 500,000 kids from all over the continent. It has been played from last year in April, kicked off in Mozambique with a national phase, with the zonal phases whereby all the CAF zones were competing. And now in Durban, for the first time, South Africa will host the inaugural final. We are all excited about it. It's going to kick off on the 5th at the King's Wellington Stadium. The final is also going to be in Durban at Tekwini on the 8th. So it's going to be a lot of excitement because the entire continent is coming to South Africa. This is an opportunity, of course, for Africa's young talent to be given an opportunity to showcase their talent. But it's not only about football. It's about leadership. It's about career guidance.
Staying with football, the Federation of Uganda Football Association, FUFA, has made changes to its national team structures in the wake of public concern over the current dismal performance of the senior national team, the Cranes. However, the changes that threw out all the current junior team's coaches have not affected the embattled Ugandan Cranes coach, Micho Seredejovic, who remains in charge of the national team.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho Seredejovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Federation of Uganda Football Association, FUFA president, is Moses Magogo.
We have taken a decision to establish the fitness training unit, and the person in charge of the national team will have a full-time job. There will be the head coach of the Uganda Hippos, and this will be a full-time job, but it will be supported by two assistants, one for the under-17 and one for the under-15. For the senior national teams, we shall analyze and appraise their performance at the end of the AFCON 2023. And if there is any decision to be made, it will be made then.
In cricket news, South Africa will face the Netherlands in two ODIs that will define their entire year, aiming to seal their place at the World Cup. Following an exciting but disappointing 2-1 defeat against West Indies, the Proteas need to win both matches against the Dutch and hope Ireland lose at least one of their three clashes with Bangladesh in May. The top 8 teams in the World Cup Super League automatically qualify for the World Cup in India, with the bottom 5 needing to go through further qualifiers with 5 associate teams. Quinton de Kock is South Africa Proteas opening batsman.
Honestly, we have been batting really well. Obviously, we were disappointed after the loss, but also you know, fairly happy in the way we went about things. Obviously, it's, you know, they played really well, the West Indies, or at least do my best of it. I'm pretty sure the other guys will also make sure. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll rock up 100% and ready to go.
Staying with cricket news, a second edition of the Victoria Series will take place in Kampala from April 16th to the 23rd at the Lugogo Cricket Oval. This edition has attracted three new entrants in Rwanda, Tanzania and the UAE. The Emirates nation will be visiting East Africa for the first time, but has at least played against Uganda and Kenya at an invitational tournament in 2016 in the desert. The UAE, ranked 15th in the world, will come to Kampala as the highest ranked team and therefore come into the tournament with a big reputation. And out of volleyball, the Uganda National Volleyball League semi-final playoffs will take place this weekend, with 8 games to be played between Saturday and Sunday at the Old Kampala Arena. Some of the fixtures will see Kampala Amateur Volleyball Club men's team serve off their semi-final playoff against defending champion Orange Blockbusters, as Sport S Women Football Club take on OBB in the first women's semi-final. Some of the coaches speaks of their team's chances at the semi-finals.
The boys and the men are still hungry for more. They're still hungry to learn. They're still hungry to perform.
Pevis had a good run this season, but we are ready for them. Because we have played them several times, but they have won all of them.
They are very ready to give our opponents a very nice game. OBB is a good team compared to other teams that didn't qualify for playoffs. And we have played them, and we have won our regular games with them. And I am sure we shall put up a good game with them.
And out to golf, where the All-Africa Junior Team Championship is scheduled to hold from April 15th to the 21st at the Lake Victoria Serena Golf Resort and Spa in Uganda. The competition will feature junior golfers from Tanzania, Nigeria, Botswana, Malawi, Senegal, Togo, Rwanda, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Kenya, Namibia, and the host Uganda. Kenya's Junior Golf Foundation has selected 7 golfers, 4 boys and 3 girls, to represent Kenya at the tournament. Regina Gachora, president of the Kenya's Junior Golf Foundation, says going forward, the junior players will have an opportunity to play a world-ranking tournament every week.
The fantastic thing is that the KAGC tournaments, which are the amateur tournaments, and there are about 30 this year, have now welcomed juniors to be able to play. So we have our 12. KGC has 30. It means every week our juniors will have an opportunity to play a world ranking tournament. And that now opens up the floodgates, because the more tournaments you play, the better you look in terms of world ranking. So our juniors, especially the girls, I think the best was 1,300.
And out to cycling. Egypt recently hosted the second round of the 2023 UCI Trike Track Cycling Nations Cup. The four-day event saw 400 cyclists from 50 countries compete on the penultimate leg of the Global Cycling Tour. No African country won the single medal at the 2023 UCI Track Cycling Nations Cup in Cairo, despite competing in 14 disciplines. Ebisam Zaid, Africa track cycling champion, says despite the poor performance of African cyclists at the UCI, she hopes to improve on her rankings ahead of the Paris Olympics.
I hope so, to be in top 10 in world champion Glasgow in July. And after Glasgow, we will continue to be preparing very, very well to Paris Olympics. Inshallah, to be for top 10 also, top 5 is not far away to be have a medal, but we will see.
Finally, the National Athletics Association of Zimbabwe Junior Track and Field Championships are set for April 8th at the White City Stadium in Bulawayo and will be the final selection competition for the African Championships. The continental event is due to take place from April 29th to May 3rd in Lusaka, Zambia.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale, whose extra spicy package of African sports news wraps up Friday's show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.